into item 16, miscellaneous and meeting debrief. I was asked to... Oh, yeah. No.
Stop hitting me. I'm going
to... Pay attention.
You're interrupting my train of thought. It's challenging enough.
Not a designated point.
So I was going to say, speaking of miscellaneous, I was asked by our AG to be miscellaneous. So...
That'll be quick.
Was that the right intro for you then?
That's fine.
So for the record, this is William Freymeyer from the Attorney General's office. And I just wanted to let you know about some legislation that got passed last year. You know, you, through your system, propose legislation and some of it passes and some of it doesn't. My boss, the Attorney General, also proposes legislation, and a piece he has proposed last year did pass, and it amends the Open Public Meetings Act, particularly the penalty provision. The penalty used to be $100 for a knowing violation. That $100 came in at the time the Open Public Meeting Act was first enacted, and so the Attorney General, because he has a very big open government view and put a lot of effort into public outreach on open government issues, looked at this and figured that the penalty should be raised just because a lot of time has passed, and to make it sort of similarly relative to the time it passed. So the penalty has been amended this year and passed, and it is now $500 for the first knowing violation. And this is a personal penalty. It's not to the agency. It's a penalty to the person who violates the open public, knowingly violates the Open Public Meetings Act. In addition, there's a new provision that deals with a second violation. And so if there's a second one, the penalty goes up to $1,000. So I thought that it was important, not that you run the risk of these things, but I think it's important that you know sort of what the Attorney General's view of open government is, and that the penalties for knowing violations of the Act have increased. The second thing, and I'll send these three, I'll send you the bill, I'll send you some analysis of the bill, and then I'll send you this other thing that the Attorney General has just issued and put on his public website. And it's some training for boards and commissions, all boards and commissions, both local government boards and state boards. The Open Public Meetings Act applies to all of them. But it's a question and answer that ends up being 19 pages long about how boards and commissions, the issues that are raised in the selection of an executive. So when you have your director search, not that you're going to do that, but just there are a whole number of questions that sort of relate to how boards and commissions work with the Open Public Meetings Act when they're doing director searches. And the Attorney General has an AG that is specializing in open government, and she's has lots of years of experience with this stuff, and has written this question and answer thing, which I've provided comments and the draft, and a number of attorneys who've worked with commissions provided some input. So I'll send you a copy of that also by a link. So that's it.
Could you give one example or an example of a knowing violation would be that we would be liable for a $500 ding?
Well, I think that... you know, what is knowing? For instance, I mean, if you met as the nine of you met together to undertake the business of the commission, without noticing a meeting, you just met at, Larry's house or on the boat, but you transact the business of the commission, you all talk about North Falcon and what the department should be doing, in North of Falcon, and you didn't notice it, you had a quorum, because, we give you training, and we talk about these issues a lot. I think that is probably something where, potentially that it's going to be a court case. The court is going to look at sort of what training do you have, what do you know about the Open Public Meetings Act, what do you know about your obligations, and then what did you do?
So if four of us went fishing,
five
of us went fishing, that automatically is?
As long as you don't talk about business.
Yeah, it depends if you...
Yeah, we had breakfast this morning.
Five of us. Is that a violation?
It depends what you're doing. If you're transacting the business of the commission, then whenever there's a quorum or whenever there's a committee that you've delegated authority to, delegated the ability to transact business, whenever there's a quorum and you're doing the business of the commission or doing the business of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, that is, you know, what you should be, what you're supposed to be doing in open public meeting unless an exemption applies.
So it seems to me, Bill, that the most potential problem is the committees that clearly should be for education and information. But if we said we developed these committees to make decisions, to bring back to the commission, that we could run into problems about not noticing those meetings, right?
And on any specific deal, you know, this is all public information, and so on any specific thing, you know, we can talk individually about it. But in general, committees, there can be committees of less than a quorum, and they can meet outside of the act as long as they do not have delegated authority. They can't transact business. But a committee that makes a recommendation to the full body, you know, I think that's okay. There are four things that you can't do, but really I think the one that comes most often to that these your committees deal with, as far as I know, is, you know, do they have authority to take action or not? If their authority is to, you know, go discuss with staff, and if there's a need to bring back a recommendation to the full body, or they're just educational, you know, I think that they do not have delegated authority. There have been some instances where the commission has said, we're going to give this committee the power to make a decision, and with that flows the act, I think.
Because we realize it would trigger the Open Public Meeting Act, so the committee meeting would become an open meeting,
right?
When they have a delegated authority.
Right.
So we haven't done that as far as I remember. I don't think we've ever done that.
I think there may have, in some of the prior director search, there may have been some small, short-term decision-making about
the process. But that was covered by the exemption. We did have some exemptions for discussing.
Yeah.
It personnel.
Right.
And like I say, we can talk about, you know, you can call me anytime. We can talk about individual cases or issues.
So some of our regular public know about these committees and occasionally show up. Can we say this is a closed meeting? Please go away.
Yeah, the fish committee's had the same sort of thing.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
And the fish committee has drawn the line on people showing up. We did have people show up uninvited at our last committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, not that one. I'm talking about the one the other night.
Thursday night.
Yeah. Now, we have the right, then, to ask those people to leave?
I believe legally, yes.
Even if they're with, say, they're with either the federal system or the state system, if they're a state employee?
I believe, yes.
Okay.
But like I say, we can talk about any individual.
I have one more question not related to this, as long as we've got you captive here for a moment. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
This
is a public meeting, so if it's the type of question we should talk about, you know, in confidence, we can do that also. So
it's recorded.
Yeah, okay. It has to do with transparency, and it was brought up by one of the constituents at the meeting with regard to North of Falcon and the observer program within North of Falcon, which the tribes have control over. My understanding is, having come from NOAA, is that when it's a nation-to-nation meeting, or consideration of some sort that the public can legally be excluded from that if one of the parties, in this case the tribes, say that they do not want an observer in that program. Is that true?
Normally it's called government to government in this project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm phrasing it the other way. I can't think of a way that a member of the public would, as long as it's not a meeting subject to the Open Public Meetings Act, I mean, thinking in that context, I can't think of a right, that, at least looking at state agencies, that a person has to attend the meeting. Yeah. But we can talk about it more.
What we do is let's talk about it later. It's a real, real sore topic with the constituencies.
We'll do it in a closed session.
Yeah.
I would just advise the commission that the practice of having ethics training and legal training every year is a good practice because it refreshes your memory about what the law requires of us. And to rely on being on a court being kind and understanding that, you know, ignorance was somehow an excuse is not really the way we should function. We should function understanding our role, understanding the law, understanding the process. And that's why I think we need this kind of training every year.
Yeah.
Just the refresher.
Yeah, given that, maybe you can talk to Tammy about what you think we should get and who should be presenting that to us so we could schedule something.
Okay, sure. Yeah, and if you ever have questions about the Open Public Meetings Act or public records or ethics, the particularly the open government stuff, the Attorney General's office on the public his public webpage has an open government page, and it has training and training and training and short training and medium training and long training. I mean, there is a wealth of information. There's another group that works with local governments. It's called the Municipal Research Service Center, and it's like an association, but it's a think tank, and so they do lots of analysis and thinking and help, and it's a real publicly open website, and they have a lot of open government materials also.
I think that's a good resource, but I think for what you're sensing, having somebody there so we can interact is what...
Right. I agree with what you're saying because we were required when we came on the commission to take the training that's available through the AG's website. However, I agree with Brad because we can come up with specific examples of questions and doubts about procedure that we can then ask someone and get clarity. So I agree with Brad. It's a whole different circumstance to have someone we can bounce questions off rather than doing it online leaves some gaps.
Okay.
I would prefer that, too.
And one thing on the whole ethics issue. I know you were joking, Brad, but agreeing to go on a trip with a sport fisherman is a gift because those trips have a value, and it's way above what we're allowed to receive. We're allowed to receive almost nothing. So I've always felt like you never take trips with the
person. It was after he'd offered the one to the person next to him.
Unless you want to pay the fair market value. You can compensate them.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Thank you, Mr. Miscellaneous.
And my blue sheet?
Yeah, let me just, we're going to cancel the 7-1 conference call.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was my... So we'll go to your blue sheet.
Okay. My blue sheet title is Quality Deer Management Briefing. And a crested due date, September, if possible, because I thought Eastern Washington would be a good setting for this. Importance, I think it's of high importance, but medium urgency. knowledge action being requested, explanation of the principles of quality deer management, the objectives of the approach, where it is being applied, and the pros and cons of applying the concept in Northeast Washington. And all I'm looking for is a briefing.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, second. Any discussion? All those in favor of the blue sheet, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Blue sheet is now in motion. Other items under miscellaneous and meeting debrief.
Calendar. You have the 2017 calendar, just a draft to, for folks to take a look at.
We would provide input back to you.
Yep. Okay. It's just any of these are absolutely do not work days. Do not work the meeting days for you on this call.
If the March meeting is at that time, I'll probably miss it. But if it was the 10th and 11th, I could make it. If it didn't matter to anyone else or if staff may have to have enough time to prepare for that, which is more important than me being there. But if it didn't matter to anybody, if we bumped that one up earlier, that would better work for me personally.
Do you want any of these just to come back to you then and then?
Home,
yeah.
Comments.
Okay, so that's okay. One.
Yeah, what I would like issues? For us to make a decision. So no way to live the
okay.
So we can set it for next year.
I would also like to see the August meeting move back a week.
Back a week?
Into July?
No. Just from August 4th, 5th to the 11th and 12th. That's all.
I probably wouldn't be at that one then.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm not necessary, but I'm just...
Okay.
That's...
No, that's all right.
and there's nothing saying we can't meet in July and not in August. I mean...
We've talked about that in the past. But I thought there was a reason because of the waterfall ruling.
Yeah, that and also budget. Allowing staff to get ready for the submittal to the governor's office.
Well, I think we all have a conflict somewhere along the line, so.
But July might be okay. Late July might be okay for staff.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would make my life a little easier if it was late July, but my life is easy enough already. okay, any other... Yes.
I just would recall previous discussions that we were going to have an evaluation session this meeting, but given the short day today, I imagine that's why it was postponed. So I just want to say that I'm looking forward to a healthy discussion with our director in August. So.
Yeah, we will be putting together the bits and pieces of that and getting it out. And I think we talked about that, Jim.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Anything else? Hearing nothing else, I bring to a close the meeting, Fish and Wildlife Commission meeting at 8:45. For those of you that are going away,